And hello, we're on the air. This is Kathy Cook, and we're going to be bridging some wisdom, one wisdom spoke at a time. I am honored to be at BBS Radio, Station 1 on Tuesday evenings at 5 o'clock Pacific Time. That's 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Today's date is a timeline for me, and we need to start keeping up with that because it's very important to keep a timeline of your life. And this is April the 5th, 2011. Now, my son and just got married Saturday, and it was such a profound experience. I got to meet a lady that I had known online through the Facebook, and she was my daughter-in-law's godmother, and we just had a profound experience. Now, I use the healing stone. I want to explain something. Last week, I was talking about the healing and healing stones, and I used the same stone. I just happened to pick it up. It was one that my oldest son gave me, and I placed it at the corner of the beginning pew when the pastor said, "May your marriage be built up as that of the cornerstone that has been cast out, but is the strongest stone." And I'm very symbolic. Everything is a representation of a meaning. I can't stress that enough to the active listening audience, to not play into logic at the given moment. However, have a tape recorder or a video or, you know, whatever. Backtrack in your history when you are so centered inside yourself, and do not allow anything else to come in. But I want to give you a story. And it all happens to be with my dad, because I asked him to come with me to the wedding, even though he passed in 2005, March the 13th. Now, it is so profound to unfold this whole story. First of all, I couldn't find any socks, even though I had bunches of socks or hose to wear. So I had to put on my dancing and shoes, I call them, because they're the little red ruby looking slippers. And I had on a black outfit in gold and silver. And anyway, it just went well because it was the only pair of shoes I could wear with that wouldn't hurt my feet. And so I felt like I was in the Wizard of Oz, you know, Dorothy, I want to go home. I mean, it was such a fairyland, fairy tale story. And the godmother and I had both godmothers there, the great godmother and my godmother of my children and my mother. And I can't describe when I lit that candle to represent my son and understood for the first time the humbling meaning of the energy that ignites a light that could ignite the whole world with a bright light. And my eldest son held my hand as we went up the steps and lit that. And when my son and his wife said, "I do," and they lit that unity candle and blew it out, it was the most abundant blessing I have had with each one of my children. But this union and this holy matrimony brings it back home to your heart, the love, the abundance of love. And then the dance with my son. I got to tell him whispering words of wisdom. I told him, I said, "Son," I call him T-Bear, I said, "your wife is always right. To stop an argument, just agree. And then when you come back and are all chillaxed, then you can discuss it as it's meant to be." And he was, "Yes, ma'am," and he was understanding. I couldn't hold that boy tight enough. A mother's love that deep. I mean, my children, and what this world is happening, and what is going on. It's a story to unfold that's beyond meaning. Now, the lady that was Jackie's godmother, her husband has intense cancer. I had that healing stone, and I lifted it up from the altar. My son kicked it out from the side and picked it up. It was really cool because instead of just picking it up, he kicked it out with his foot, just like they did back in the day when it was when the seven harvest of the grains, you know, and Joseph in the coat. I don't know if y'all know that story or not, but he had to work in the fields and in the mines for King Herod. And he was profound, and he took the cornerstones. He always made the cornerstones the strongest ones. they were kicked out, and he kept prophesizing in dreams. And so finally the king took note to him and brought him in, but he still had to be in the dungeon. But he was the prophetic dream analogy interpreter for the king. And he said there was going to be 7 years of hardship, and to take those grains from every land and store them up, because the lotus was going to come and eat all the grain, and that the king would only have the only offer to be able to give the food out to the hungry. And his brothers actually sold him into slavery because he was his father's favorite, they thought. Even though Benjamin was a little boy, that was his brother, and there was five boys. And they threw him in this pit. And King Herod's, he had this coat of just rainbow colors, and it was beautiful. And his brothers were very jealous, so they wanted to think that he was going to get eaten by the lions. To make a long story short, his brothers came from far off, sent by his father, to buy some grain. Now, what happened was they didn't recognize him, but they were very humbled. And he sent, Benjamin didn't come because his father would never let him out of his sight. So Joseph said, well, is there any more of you? And he says, we've got one at home and my father. He says, you come back with your other brother, and then I'll give you some grain of wheat. And so he went back. They came back with the brother, and still he didn't get recognized. So he sent him back for the father. And they didn't understand. They were just so hungry. So when they got back, Joseph was very honored by the King Herod. So the King Herod had him have a banquet for his family, but still he had not told him that it was his family that they had thrown away. And so he set them down at the table, and they were shocked. And he put a goblet out for them to want to take, you know, and see if they would rob it. But it was kind of like a plant into a seed, you know, to see what would happen. And still they didn't know who he was. And sure enough, one of the brothers picked up the goblet, the big goblet that had all this scroll writings all over it. So anyway, he kept Benjamin there and told them, you know, they gave him a little bit of wheat, but told him that they would have to come back to get Benjamin because he wanted to talk to him. But he still didn't know that was his brother. They didn't recognize their own brother because they had turned inward to such jealousy and greed and hatred towards him and envy, because they were not content with themselves, and they found that their father had favor in him, which he did not. Anyway, so they come back and they get the, he said, did you pick up the goblet, and in order to get the grain and get your brother, you're going to have to recognize me as your brother that you threw away. And they were just like, you know, like that. It was just crazy. So anyway, they went and they split into nations and in Israel, and that's how they became a new nation. And they went out, and the king let him go. But I want to tell you about Abraham. You know, the bosom of Abraham. I don't know why I'm on this, because I don't prepare for my shows. It just comes out of my mouth. So Abraham had a son by his maid, because his wife could not get pregnant. And so she was promised and promised and promised by God, but she was not patient enough. So she said, because Abraham wanted a son so bad, so she sent her maid into his chambers, and they conceived and they had a son. I think his name is Enoch. I don't remember his name well. But his wife, Abraham's wife, tried so hard to raise him as her own, but the feeling, the depth of hurt that she could not give him a child, and her maid of chambers was the mother, I don't know where this is going, so just bear with me. I'm remembering the story as I speak it. And I ask God to speak for me in every way, shape, and form, and remove me. So I'm just coming to and from myself, and I really have to concentrate on letting go. Not concentrate, but I've got to remove myself. But anyway, so his wife, several years, Abraham sent his son out with his mother to make a new nation. He said, go and part and make a new nation and a new name for yourself, because my wife cannot take it. You're not to stay here any longer at this camp. And so years later, maybe 10, 11 years later, Abraham's wife conceived, and they loved him and they named him Isaac. Isaac was tested over Abraham. Abraham was told that if he was going to listen to God, he had to offer his son up as a sacrifice. So he carried him up as maybe a 12, 10, 11-year-old boy, and he laid him with one of his servants. He took his sword, and he says, God, please don't let me kill my only son that I've waited so long for. And right when his sword went up over his head and began to strike down his son's head on the stone, Jesus Christ stopped him. And I mean, Jesus Christ wasn't there yet, but God stopped him and said, you know what? I'm telling you this for a reason, okay? Because it was a test. And his son, Isaac, and his stepbrother split the nations. It split them in two because they became two different places. You know, one brother went there and the other brother went the other way. And so that's how it happened to become a split nation of Israel. I don't know why I'm saying this. And that is a message to whoever pulls it up. But the meaning, I opened up a meaning today, last night, 4/4/2011. Now, I did not comprehend any of this until a while ago, the middle of the night, actually. And what happened was, I have told so many people in Yahoo chat, when we would just get to talking back in the day. And I said, Pandora's box is down in the depths of the sea. It's wedged between two stones. And I can see it as plain as day. And I didn't know what that meant. You know, I just knew you're not supposed to open Pandora's box. Well, think about this. Pandora's box was open when the oil was drilled down into the depths of the sea. Am I broadcasting? I don't know, because I don't see that little thing. I've got it recorded. Okay, I don't see that little thing, but anyway. Oh, thank you so much, Don. The thing is that the depths of the sea, things trigger me for code, and I love to read that TNT News trigger.
We have Lisa online, too.
Okay, thank you. Lisa, I'll be with you in a moment. I want to finish this. Okay, so anyway, earlier, Pandora's box was opened when they drilled so deep into the sea because it cracked the surface of the core of the earth, and actually it went opposite, which is what Japan and China from our sea. And remember last week I was talking about the triangle, the Bermuda Triangle, and I kept seeing a band of angel things around it. And think about that, the greed of trying to get oil. You know, that all started back in the day when Iraq and Kuwait were partners, neighbors, you know, like an invisible fence separating them, like any state. And Kuwait drilled for oil right on the sidelines, right on the edge of the fence. Well, the vein of the oil happened to be on Iraq side. So they started a fight over who owned the oil. That's how the Iron Curtain, the Iron Gate, this is how it all started, y'all. And I learned that back in school with world history or world science or political science. That's what it was. I didn't take but maybe 3 weeks of it because it was so hard to comprehend. I mean, it was hard. And so I dropped that class, but I kept the book. I haven't read. I don't even know where it is, but I have some notes. Anyway, so to make a long story short, there's a fine line that we walk on this life. It's like a very fine thin, thin line. You have to walk that line. You don't cross that line to go to the other side, or you don't cross that line to go to the other side. It's like a tightrope we walk on. You have to put one foot in front of the other blindly, knowingly, that you are looking up and out and not down and out, because you'll stumble and fall, with faith and knowing that your feet are planted. Because if you just barely even unbalance yourself to the other side, just tiptoe your little toe on the tightrope of life and the bridging wisdom, the bridge of life. Think about this, guys. You touch the little bit of negativity, and it gets on you and it oozes up there, and you don't even know. But even, you know, like, it's crazy. I've always used that analogy. I want to just say, Lisa, I'm really on a roll, so I'll get with you in just a minute. I'm not trying to be rude, okay? I know you've called my house 2 times today, so I will get with you as soon as possible. So anyway, if you're the same Lisa, pardon me if you're not. The thing is that I really, really, really need to concentrate on this, because I've got to get a message out there. I'm not about reading tonight. I'm about understanding the message and the symbols and the reason and the meanings, because it's so vital for one to find their own truth. No one, we can guide each other and direct each other, but we cannot give others answers. We cannot. Because we have to seek our own understanding of what it is and what's best for us. It's laying in our hearts. We know already, but we get all confused with all that mushy, gushy out there. You know, I call it the sewage. And I feel like I've been in the Matrix. I literally am coughing up foamy stuff or whatever. My daughter's even saying, well, I said, because I feel like I've been plugged into the Matrix, because the Matrix is the computer system, right? Well, think about this, okay? I, you, we, all, everybody. My mother said back in 92 that the internet was going to be the beast and the mark of the beast, and it was going to cause the world to collapse. And anyway, I was like, I had already told her, I said, I see this information highway gate opening up. I don't know what it means. And all I knew is that there was a computer at the bank, you know, the NCMB bank. It was the biggest computer system. We didn't have computers opened up, but I was in school at Central Piedmont Community College, and I used to sit under a tree, and I called it the Pathfinder Journal. It got stolen, but Pete, my old friend there, he saw, and my mother saw, and several people saw the Pathfinder book. Later, that was before the Pathfinder car even came out. But the thing is that I've always, since I was young, have written down little symbolic things, because everything has a meaning. I'm talking everything. Because on the TNT News Trader today, somebody said, put a little picture of a sheep wedged between two stones, and said that they were wedged between a rock and a hard place, and they called it a sheep. Well, I don't know what that means, but it's a sheep. So not unless it's because God is the flock keeper. You know, all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And maybe we are his sheep, and that's a sheeple, and he keeps us safe, and even a straying one he'll go and find, because he was the shepherd by day and night. But that triggered something in me, that rock in a hard place. I remembered the crevices in my dreams that I shared in Yahoo. And that's how it unfolded for me to understand that the sands of time have shifted. Now, I've always had, back in the day, I was reading somebody. I believe it was Betty Boopster. I call her Bebop to the Boopster. And I got the word kelp. I didn't know what kelp was. I still didn't know what kelp was till the other day when I looked it up, because I kept hearing the word kelp. Kelp is what holds the sea bottom, the underneath the sea, deep together. Kelp is iodine, and kelp is what heals radiation, people that have radiation. Now think of this, that iodine is fed from the plasma of the sun, okay? We had a hole in our ozone when everybody kept tearing down the trees to make the money and all that stuff. So here's where I'm going with this, because I don't know, it's just coming out. The sun, if respected, will keep you cool and calm and perfect vitamins and natural nutrients. But if it's disrespected, just like me, you know, I call myself a Bright Lights Pathfinder. One, because we're all part of the solar system of the bright lights, and to get there and to learn and understand each other. You know, we're all a bright light shining, searching for that Pathfinder's way. Well, I'm on my path, and I walk it, talk it, speak it, know it, live it. And I do not slander others. I do not hurt others. I do not speak about others. I just do what I need to do for myself when it's time to do something for myself, because I know that it's a godlike thing. It's a godlike production. For the life of me, though, it feeds so many people with what I learn and channel. And out of respect, I would humbly ask that my name is used, or Bright Light, or Bright Path, or something, for it to be acknowledged out there. Because it's almost word for word, and it's almost like, you know, patronizing me. And it's sad to see, but I just want to say, what's that wink? But I just want to say, I'm going to get back on my path now. I just wanted to say that. But I want everybody to listen up and tune in, because there is a journey here to begin. The sun is the solar system's heat, energy, everything, okay? So its plasma feeds the earth, which thus is like the core of the water, is like the blood of Mother Earth. But the plasma, what is that? Blood, right? It's like the red blood cells, and the sea is the white salt, sea salt, which we cleanse all things with in the traditional old ways. Salt will clean the wounds faster than anything, because I used to have to, my black and white horse that kept getting foundered, I had to soak his foot in Epsom salt, and it would take his wounds away. And anything, we always soak, if you hurt your feet or whatever, soak in Epsom salt. And I don't know where that little thing is, Don. I don't see a message thing on my computer. I don't see it. So I can't answer you, baby. Anyway, so I want to tell you, the salt of the earth, the light of the world, the true creation of God. That is one of the first things I learned as a child, that I was the salt of the earth. I was the light of the world. And I was so important that I was a true creation of God. And I was seated at the right hand of Him. And I would not falter. I stood out at the ocean front in 92, right after I got that vision of the information highway. I stood with my dug stones at hidden night, and I took the crystals of the everything you could fathom, from emeralds to amethyst to just pure bridging crystals to every kind of stone. It's about an hour from my house. I stuck it in the sand. I split my feet as far as my shoulders were. I held my mouth up to the atmospheric, golden, glorious crown of the heavens. And I looked at the ocean inlet islet through the full moons as it was a lacy gown of God. But the stars were His glorious crown. The moon was a halo. And it goes on to say, I held my arms up and out with my palms upward as if I was opening up and allowing, giving myself all the way to God, the Creator. And I said, I am ready to do what it is to take for my path. It's my passion. It was calling and yearning me like a burning fire. And I said, bring into my life all the people, places, and things that are of your will, and remove all people, places, and things that are not. Bam, I had a divorce out of a 20-something year marriage. People started falling out of my life, and it was crazy. It hurt me really deeply at first. My family and I strayed, but we came back very deeply. It was my choice, because I lived like a monk or a nun for many years up until last year. So, to make a long story short, I know people think that I think I know things, but I only speak what is given to me and downloaded to me, like the Matrix. And it is a thing that I cannot comprehend myself. I learn from it as well, but it's knowing that gives the information out, and it feeds so many people. And it's okay if people take it as their own information, but let the knowing know where you got it from. because it's important to know that others want to understand for your clout and for your, you know, people will build somebody up, you know, just like a rock star just happens to get found. And they'll pick on them and build them up. But where is their walk and credentials of the papers? Where is it? Know the knowing. Know that I know. Know that the knowing knows. As I asked one time, a long time ago, it's up in the journal of Bright Tassie, I believe, and it was a journal called Live Journal. That's where it is. I haven't been up there in a long time. But I said, God, when are you going to stop talking to me and let me go to sleep one day? And he goes, no. And my girlfriend Susan and I used to call it the silent K-Day. And, you know, no, like N-O-W, now. And I used to take the word knowledge apart every which way I could and see all these words in it, like no and K-N-O-W and ledge and lead, and there's something in there for something. I don't know. Maybe it's for the sea, you know, the bed of the sea to heal it. But if you look at the ledge and knowledge and take it all apart, look at the words in there. There's a message, but it's the knowledge that if you apply and wake up to absorb more knowledge, to understand, then it will become wisdom. And once you have wisdom from the knowledge that you sought out, because nobody knows the answers but God. God only knows the answers, and with more questions become more answers. But if I seek understanding and not answers, then the understanding of the knowing will be applied as I absorb each and every day, in every moment, in every way. Because everything to me is very, very, very truthful and humbling if I stay in my heart center and remove myself, ego, self out of the way and listen actively to the communications. If your eyes veer off into something and you see something and then you move away, you know, like say a teapot, what does that represent? Well, tea in China. Okay, there you have it. So there must be something going on in China. So I'm just going to give you an example of how I do this, or God does, it's not me. I'm seeing a basket woven, and it's made out of a, Medicine Walker gave it to me when she came to visit, and it's made out of a birch tree. Well, birch tree. Okay, so river birch tree is what it's made out of. So the tea and the river go hand in hand. Because didn't the tea come from China and the Boston Tea Party or something? I don't even know because I don't pay attention. But I keep going to, let me tell you, this is how I stay into only knowing what God wants me to know. Did you know that just 2 hours ago, I was trying to understand what symbolic meaning of those two hands that look like they're touching each other? You know, and I knew it was Leonardo da Vinci, but I don't know much of this work, but Mona Lisa. I really, you know, try not to feed myself into what the world has done because it's not my path. I want to hear it raw. I want to hear it firsthand from God, you know, the creator. And if I look around at others' work, you know, where did they get it from? But man, you know, the heart is pure. It is heard pure, but the mind is made of people, places, and things along the way. Since we birthed and God breathed out of his nostrils into man as he made him out of his image, which was his soul, you know, the creator. We came from the creator. And you think about it. Think about this. Once the breath is taken, he gave us his seed. And that is what he gave us, two gifts, to multiply and rebirth our seed of generations of our breath. But the thing is this, because of the, you think of the apple, you think of the Macintosh, you think of when you turn the Macintosh on. This is all coming to me just now, so just bear with me. I had to restore my whole computer system. It got hacked again the other day for the umpteenth millionth time. It's always when something goes on down in there in that sewer. I don't know what, but I keep my side of the street clean. I keep my mind out of the gutter, so I don't want to have to look at that. I don't want to know why. It just happened. It just is, and it doesn't matter. It just is. So I lost everything. I restored it with the CDs, and bling, bing, it comes on with a big, huge X across the front. And all these, it's just gorgeous. I tried to take a picture of it, but it wouldn't let me keep it on my cell phone. I don't know why. But it tells every country and every continent, and all these worlds go round and round with this one particular planet. And it's got an X on it. Well, you know, it just hit me just now. It hit me today, actually, or either this morning. X marks the spot, right? X in the center of the square. So we're squared in. But isn't there something called an X planet or something coming around? I don't know. I don't really know. But X planet is that Mac, is that Apple, and Apple is where the tree of knowledge is, the tree of knowledge we're all part of, because that's our roots, that's who we are. We hold the earth together with our roots and our truth, and we branch out to multiply. Now, the Apple was deceived, but maybe this is a chance for us to turn it around, you know, and make a good thing about it, because Johnny Appleseed, I don't know who that is, but it's somebody. I remember that as a kid. But the seeds of our fathers and our, if we don't break the bonds and the that chain us down, the seeds of generation from generation to the beginning of beginning will multiply into our bloodline. It's just like getting a STD. You know, think about that. You got to wear a color-coded condom practically to get on the internet. Well, I don't use the virus protections. I guess that's why. Because I trust. Because I am so truthful. I don't want to see anybody else's mistrust or their anger or their hurt. So what I'm getting at is, when I went to my father, my dad, before he died, I said, Daddy, we've got to break the bonding chains that bind us, because the generations were so hard. I said, I own my life and what has happened to me and how I was treated for a reason. And I will know someday. I will understand what my credit is, my name that you announced when I went down that aisle as a bride. I will understand all that stuff. And he started talking about what his father did to him. I said, you own yours. You earned it. You paid the price for it. I paid the price for mine, how I have been treated. And I own it. I worked hard, ship labor, for the pain or the hurt or the suffering. And I said, Daddy, I said, I'm here to break those chains that bind us from generation to generation to generation. He said, you know, he started telling me things that happened to him as a kid and why he was so strict and hard. Because it was about the time. It was several years before he died, but I was in the barn with my black and white horse, and it was foundered, and he wanted to put his tractor in there. He went up to raise his hand at me like I was a kid, you know, and I said, wait a minute, stand behind. I mean, it just came out of me. I said, stand behind me, Satan, stand firm, be gone from here. It just blew me away. Well, my dad shocked out of his cell, and he went, forgive me, Tassie. He says, sometimes my heart does not hear because my mind gets in the way. And that, my friends, is how I learned to listen with my heart, because it came from my father. And that, when we broke the seeds of deception, it evolved into my life, which I chose to be as Christ-like as I possibly can, because it's truth. It's my light. It's my way, because the Holy Ghost rains down into me. He has a vengeful side, though, I tell you. His wrath is hard. And I'm told over and over, my truth, I put this mother voice on, I'm getting it now. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother of wisdom. My daughter named me that because when her baby was being born, she said, I want you. We had been estranged for nearly 3 years from her marriage because it was hard for her to cleave to her husband and let go of me. And she stayed all night Christmas Eve before her marriage, March the 8th, that opened a new gate. And it was so painful because she finally explained it to Michael and I when Michael was talking to her for the first time, that it was hard for her to let go and learn to live. And it hurt her to see things that she had done in her past, and it made her sad to come near me because it brought up memories that were hard, and she learned and how to let go. And I let her go because when somebody leaves me alone, I learned from a long time ago, like my dad, trying to seek his approval, trying to see his, get approval from people. I learned to let them go. And when they're ready, they will come back to me. Because if I push it and push it and push it, it will bust it wide open. Like phone calls over and over, or one, whatever. And then once I have said, I've got to shut that door, I do. I'll take. I'm not a vehicle for karma or anything. I don't carry people's stuff around because it's not mine. It's theirs. I have no power over people. I have no power. I'm powerless. I only can judge and commit to myself. Nobody can make me feel anything. Nobody can say anything that hurts me unless I choose it, because that is gaining their feed of power over me. Now, how many times do you think people are going around talking about another person in a bad way? If that is renting space in their head, then man, that's a lot of power. So I don't let people rent space in my head, because I have to stay as channeled and centered as I possibly can to get the message out there to you and you and you, active listening audience of BBS Radio Station 1, which we are bringing life one octave higher, one broadcast at a time. Each time we broadcast, and any person that feels like Don said with their heart, if they believe it in their heart and they walk it, then that's what makes BBS Radio the bridge. Then I told him a long time ago when Francine Silverman wrote that book, I said, Don, I believe BBS Radio is the bridge to a new world, a new way. And that's how profound the station is, because the people have heart. And they feel it with their gut. And they live it. We just can listen. And we can apply it to ourselves like a library inside of our hearts. We can store it up on a shelf for later. And we can dump what we don't need. But I'm going to tell you something, guys. This is not funny. This is not play. This is real. We've got to know our walk on this earth's path. Because that's how we're going to get to the other side. I keep having this dream over and over and over, over and over and over, and don't understand it. But I'm on this, all of a sudden, blink of an eye, I'm on this humongous, like a rearview mirror is kind of rounded. Well, I just all of a sudden look out there, and I see the star galaxy, and that's all I see. And I was like, whoa, where am I? And I realized that a lot of times in my dream sleep, I will go up to this alien type being place, and I call them father, but not my heavenly father, and mother. Now, mother, she puts on a mask or veil, because sometimes she has a Statue of Liberty on her head. Sometimes, whatever. I said, mother, why do you always put those things on your head? She said, because she didn't want to scare me into seeing the real way she looks, and that they were here to help us because they needed to understand feelings. That's why, because they want to understand how to feel. They got all the knowledge in the world. They can fix them, that's in my dream sleep. But the thing is I wake up on the ship, I look around, and I am at the back or the front of the ship, because I am labeled bright lights pathfinders. And it looks like a whole planet in there. I mean, there's a far, it just goes from beyond. But everybody gets on a different ship, flight, starship, by the way that they behave on this earth. This is my dream, okay? And I go, please, I'm screaming out. It's like this chain, left and right side of walls, it's like this big hallway, but it's like a street that's humongous. And one thing, my room is always, I'm always facing. What way am I facing? Because I'm facing it now. I am facing east. But wait a minute. No, I'm facing west. God, I'm dyslexic. I'm facing west, but we're going eastward. I'm looking at the back watching. And I said, please, where's my family? And all of a sudden, they found my children and my grandchildren. It was weird. But the thing is they were saying, which family? They keep saying, which family are you looking for? Okay. My brothers and sisters were on another ship because their path was a different one from mine. But my generation was clean and pure because I broke the bonds of the generations past. And I taught my children that they choose their own consequences of any way, shape, and form. when they were growing up. I gave them their own choice of punishment because they did the act and they did the wrongdoings that broke a law within a moral community, our home, or it was either a, you know, an ethic or something, you know, like not listening, or like Ashley, for an example. She kept going in Jason's room and breaking his boundaries. Well, I never, but I would put my children's clothes outside their door because boundaries are very important to me. They're intensely important because people need to have their own space. Anyway, she went and kept going into Jason's room. So she chose to write 100 times, I will not go in Jason's room anymore. She had, that was her choice. And I found that the other day, that little piece of paper, so cute. And we would have family meetings once a week, no matter what. And each person in the family, my children, my husband, me, we had turns. We held a talking stick. And it was a rain stick. You remember those rain sticks back in the day? Well, Matthew, he would turn to the wall and he'd go, Jason, why are you being so mean to me? I would eat glass for you if I had to because I love you so much. Then Jason would get up and he would turn, you know, and tell his turn, his spiel. And we dumped out the problems of our family circle then. And then we washed them away because I was very, 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 very schematic. My grandmother told me a long time ago when I was a child, she held my hands and she said, you're a healer. Seek out your roots. Well, nobody ever told me my grandmother was Native American, even though they lived on Indian land, South Carolina. But I was always drawn to that. And to make a long story short, my children, when it rained, we would go play in the rain and get as muddy as we could and dance in it. And we would get our feet as muddy as we could, and we would let them dry and then get them muddier. And we could shimmy up a tree. Matthew was called Moonbeam. Bean. Moonbeam. B-E-A-N. I don't know why I didn't call him Moonbeam. Everybody had, Marty was Silver Fox. Everybody had a name. And behind our house was the Native American burial grounds with the totem pole and everything. I've told the story before, but for those that are actively tuning in right now, we've got only about 5 or 6 more minutes, so I've got to really wrap this up. I don't know where it's going, but the star system is our home. Zion's up there. We're up. They're up there. They are preparing. And I remember telling somebody named Bird Brain or something. I posted it on TNT today. It was some kind of ZF2396 or something, some kind of code. I didn't know what it was. But I put it on the TNT News Trader. And I'm posting all over the place, answering people, getting all these downloaded codes. Well, guess what? Guess what? That message said in that instant message, I knew to keep, because if I don't question it. If something tells me to do it, I stay so pure in my truth, in the light, for the good of mankind and human nature and the natural laws, that I'm balanced. No one can rock me off my boat because it's not going to happen. I don't care what people think of me. It's none of my business because I learned that from Terry Lynn Whitaker's book. But the thing is the fact of the matter being is that it is vital for you to take the message that you get, even if you're looking at a pillow. What does that pillow mean to me? I'm looking at one right now. What is a pillow? It rests my head, right? Okay. That's how I get my meditations. So therefore, I'm giving you. What else does it mean? It means to be quiet and listen. It's a restful place. It's relaxing. It's listening, right? A pillow. Pillow talk. There you go. Pillow talk. Listen to your pillow. Listen to what, but keep your mind out of the way. Just listen to your inner self, which is your heart, which is the truth, the light, and the whole way home. Because if we don't combine together, you're not going to get on, you're going to miss the boat. You're going to be out there with some, you know, is your family going to be with you? I don't know. But I know for a fact that when my daughter was getting ready to have her baby, she says, I want you to be around her as much as possible because I want her to know your wisdom as a grandmother. That is humbling in an honorable, most intense way. I could not express it. Well, my father and mother raised me up to learn and listen and not talk back and don't dispute their word and be very respectful even if I did not do it. Or, you know, I had five brothers and sisters and we had to pick up rocks as children. But the thing about it is respect. Because if you don't respect your elders, if you don't respect them, you're not respecting yourself. Period. That's how I got the name Grandmother Wisdom that's gone out into the internet. Because I'm known with my granddaughter that I, when she was born, well, Avery Lee, I placed my forehead immediately to her forehead. And as my daughter carried her, I would put my forehead on my daughter's belly, and it got hard at the end. But I bestowed every pure gift and every pure thought of abundance into that child, Avery Lee, and my daughter as well, and everyone that deserves to know the actively answers inside, to share the knowledge and the wisdom of the generations past comes from believing in yourself and letting go and knowing that your path is right within your heart. It doesn't matter what others think, and who cares if you decide to follow a new flock and stay with an old flock, because everybody has a, any friend of yours is a friend of mine. It's a dyad, which is two people. It starts with two people. Then another person will bring another person in. That's a triad. That's the triangle. You want to understand the pyramid, the eye, the all-seeing eye is the pyramid, which is the mystery of the community. Any friend of yours is a friend of mine because you chose them, and I love you so much that I believe that you would choose the right food and the right vineyard and the right vine to walk in instead of someone owning you as a prisoner of the mind. Because the triad will then split into another person, the third person bringing in a friend. And thus the other person brings, and it becomes any friend of yours is a friend of mine, which becomes a little small community. Well, then the community gets bigger. Every friend of yours is a friend of mine. It keeps going and going and going and going. And then they break off into colonies. That is sociology. You break off into little colonies and make your little groups within your group. And it keeps multiplying until it's become a union, you know, united, one we stand. Think of America. What is it? The land of the free, the home of the brave. And we hold our hands over our heart because it is the shield. It is the rock and it is our salvation. We are the star in the Spangled Banner. We are the Statue of Liberty, which in my dream, that alien grandma, that alien mother always has on her face. She holds up the light at the end of the harbor in New York for the ships to know they've come into the safe haven. We are the land of the free, and it is not anything but whatever one wants to focus in on instead of welcoming others in, because it is, there is nothing we can do about it but let it rent space in our head and complain if it is, say, the Muslim taxi driver that won't pick people up because I heard that somewhere. I was like, who cares? Get another taxi. So when my son was getting married and I was walking in for the first, the reception, I saw a taxi sitting over there and I went, hell, taxi, because I have never ridden in a taxi but once, and I was in New York. And those people laughed at me and I said, I've always wanted to do that. Hell, taxi. And it sat there and I said, well, that one went away, so I'll just get another. You know, it is what we make it. It is what we feel, think, see, and do. The what, the where, the when, the how, and problematically, there is your why. Let's cross our own T's and dot our own I's, because that's the it. And the it is the beginning, because it represents all things if you think about it. It means anything, anything and everything. But where are you? Are you a capital I? Are you a small letter I? Where people rectify and cause you to feel smaller as a small letter I? What's inside the center of that circle of the dot of the I? But all that space that is not something that I want in my place. So I choose to become the capital of my eye. As the T is crossed and the railroad is set down for my path to be straight, it does not have to switch gears because it is a T at the top. And what do the Native Americans do? They use a T-type pole to find water. Now, with that given, And that said, I am sure that I have a lot to absorb of my understanding of this archive because, like I say, it all comes from downloading from the matrix into the oracle type, if you want to think of that, God, the creator, the knowing. You've got a message to put out there, active listening audience, all over the universe, all these countries, 192. You've got a message. Make sure that it's true and it's bright and it's a light that will always ignite another candle into the other candle. Let's join hands because we are as weak as the weakest link in our chain. If a person is bugging you because they are controlling you and they are made, then nobody's controlling you. You're allowing it for a popularity contest. This is no popularity contest. This life is not a popularity contest. It's about learning the lessons in life, being true to yourself, to thine own self be true. Let your eyes be the focus and the light of the brightest light in the triangle pyramid that is any friend of yours is a friend of mine. And let's make this mystery keeper known to the understanding by planning the perfect ways and means out there to blend the sunlight to the deepest core of the kelp somehow, some way, to penetrate the earth and bring in iron or bring, you know, iron is like that of the train. So maybe it's iron mineral that's going to bend just like they dug for the oil. Maybe there's something out there that needs to be seen as to penetrate iron down into the core of our mother's earth bed that has split so many ways and let it feed that vine as a like that of a babbling creek. A little small creek that feeds into bigger creeks, that feeds into bigger, that feeds into a river, that feeds into the ocean, that feeds the way. Let's light up the world and heal it that way. With that given, it is time for me to close. It has been a wonderful, humbling experience each and every time because I learn from myself. Because there again, I do not plan for my... I want to leave you with one thing. The dolphins are talking to me. I read something the other day. I saw a YouTuber something. And it's called the hammerhead or the something humpback dolphins. They are the smartest creatures on the face of this earth inside because they recognize themselves in a colony to get along. Now, the human being recognizes himself as a human being in the mirror when they learn the word no because thus the it is not itself anymore. It becomes the ego and the it. We have to center ourselves back into our it, which is the knowing of knowing. Get rid of that old ego. Get rid of self. Get it away. So the hammerhead or humpback dolphin or whatever, it's the smartest mammal known on the basis. They made up this ways and means to beat their tails against the bottom of the ocean, y'all, and go in circles. One is like a head leader, and he goes in circles, and he beats it, and it makes this powder puff like a smoke thing pop up, and he goes on the huge circle, round, makes this cloud pop up, and then all the fish that are caught in the middle of that smoke of the sand's surface pop up, just bouncing, and they just sit there and have a harvesting feast. It's all in the way you catch yourself as because, remember, it's a book. Take a look. You're the bait that's on the hook. Whatever you bait your hook with is going to gain its power. If you want to think negative, if you want to think wonder what ifs, and you want to be the on off, you want to, whatever, you're going to catch those little fish and be satisfied, or you want to catch that big daggum fish so big that it will feed you the rest of your life because once the bait is off the hook, the hook loses its power, and it's all gone. And with that, I'm all gone. I'm out of here. It has been wonderful. This is Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy Cook, Bridging Wisdom, Tuesday evenings at 5 o'clock, Station 1. See you out there. Take care. Bye-bye.